Hallelujah. Glorious God, we lay our crowns and we worship you. Hallelujah. We worship him this morning in the beauty of holiness, even in the womb of the morning, as we declare unto ourselves the dew of youth and the blessings of the Lord this day. God bless everyone. Thank you for joining us. Good morning from Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning across the United States. Good afternoon in the UK and Nigeria. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We are set for another great day of blessings from the Lord. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Well, you ought to declare that to yourself every day. Praise God. The Lord did create the day for us and not the other way around. Therefore, day must be subject unto us. Even as the Lord said, therefore the Lord is Lord also of the Sabbath day. So, and God has put us here on earth to subdue the earth. Days, nights, seasons, all of that. That's all part of the earth. God's given us victory over and power and dominion. Let's begin to understand that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the sweetness of your spirit. As we are here today, Lord, we indeed say yes to the Lord. That's right. That's all that Lord needs from us today, is to say yes. Thank you, Jesus. We say yes. We open our mouths wide that you may fill our mouths with your word and your spirit and your substance, even in us today, the breath of the Lord, the very essence of God in our lives. And we thank you as we come into this fellowship hour today. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And as always, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and it gives us understanding. So let that light shine our hearts today and always, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to do this today. I actually was going to do something which I pushed out till tomorrow. So be here by the grace of God for that. It'll be a powerful one for the Emerge series. But today I want to do this Emerge lesson a different way today. Praise the Lord. So today's Emerge lesson is going to be one of my, I don't want to say patented, but it's not. But the faith lab, the way that we do this faith lab, for those of you who've never experienced one of them, I'll explain it to you here this morning. And then you're going to do it. And we're going to do it together. Well, first of all, what's a lab? A laboratory. Well, it's a building or a place where experiments are conducted, typically. And sometimes it's not just experiments. It may be where things are manufactured. For instance, pharmaceutical drugs, medicines, and various things, chemicals, they're produced in the lab, You take a few things, you mix them together, and out comes this other thing. So it's a lab. That's where you do these things. And I remember as a young man, I used to love being in the lab. In fact, when I was in high school, in my school, way back then, they had this thing called the science club. And you could not join that club until you were 4 years into high school. Back then in our country, high school could be 5 or 7 years. And then, you know, most of the time you could only join the science club in my school back then when you were in the fourth year. The fourth year you were more into sciences and specialized areas of sciences and so forth. So you joined, you know, there were a couple of us for some reason, I don't know why or how, I and one other person were drafted into the science club my first year. First year, you know, people don't join that thing until you're in your fourth year, number four. I was drafted in my year number one. Well, I don't know, maybe because, you know, I was good in science and stuff. I don't know. But anyway, when I got in there, I used to like this experiments, especially chemistry. You throw all these things together and how come this other thing, you know, and I loved it for many years. Well, I didn't know, little did I know then that, you know, the Lord was setting me up. You know, there is nothing, God doesn't throw dice with our lives. You just throw something out, you know, just like I was saying, put something together and how come this thing? No. On the contrary, God already crafted everything and out comes exactly what he planned. We don't know what comes out and we try different things, but that's not what we got. God, he puts it out there. He knows exactly. And the things that we go through in our lives, sometimes it may be God just preparing you and may those experiences may come into play later on. Well, later on in years and years passed after that. I never thought too much more about it, the fact that I love that, until when I began to understand and God began to teach me about this faith lab. And then I started to cast my mind back and say, I used to love doing stuff like that, you know, from when I was a little kid. And the Lord let me realize that, yep, it was all... See, God deposits these things and lets us have these experiences all for a reason. And you can, you know, you can pull out many things later on. It's kind of like David, you know, all the experiences he had as a shepherd boy, you know, hand-to-hand combat with the lion and the bear and all of that, you know, eventually came to play, you know, with his conflict against Goliath. Even the experience he used to have going down to the brook and just singing and playing with those stones in the brook and different things. You know, he might have been out there playing with his sling, you know, while the sheep were grazing. He had a lot of time to kill, if you want to call it that. So play his little music, violin or whatever he had. And play with his sling and pick out some stones and admire those stones and play with those things. You know, all of those came into play. One day he had to go back. That was the place that he was comfortable with when he was faced with perhaps his greatest test as of that up until that time. And they tried to give him, you know, many things, you know, an armor and this and that, which he had never tried. And he said, no, I can't use this. I'm going to go back to the place where I'm comfortable with. And he went back to the brook. That's right. So all those things that we go through in life, they'll come back full circle into play. Well, my love of the lab and things like that came into play years later. When I started to understand this faith lab concept. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So, you know, that's how Hebrews 11:1 defines it. Well, and if you combine that with lab, the lab is where you put things together to create something else. But it's, you know, we used to call it practicals in those days. You know, you actually put your hands on. It's not that you're just sitting in a class listening to a lecture, you know. some of those classes, they have two parts. You listen to the lecture and then you go do the lab part, which we called back then, we called them practicals. And so later on in life, I began to see, well, actually how that works. And sometimes when you are in the lab, you do a few things and it just doesn't come out right. It's all messed up. But you try it again. You try it again. And you try it again until you get it right. And the goal is you've got to get it right. You know, so, I mean, you start out with something that you are trying to prove or something you are trying to form. That's what you start out with. And then you begin to walk towards it. And until you get it right, you don't stop, but that's a project, you know. So, you know, at times when you first start, it's just like you're just playing around. You don't really know what you're doing, you know, and give you some guidelines. You just play around, come up, you see what you come up with. And when you come up with it, you might stumble on something accidentally. And then eventually you say, oh, my goodness, you know, and then you try it again. Try it again until you perfect the thing. And once you perfect the thing, then it's like now you got a formula. That's right. You got a formula now. You take two measures of this and one measure of that, you know, and then take two measures of hydrogen, take one measure of oxygen, and out comes water. You take this, you take that, you put it all together, and there comes something. And once you finally figure it out, it's no more an experiment. Now you know exactly what to do. When you go in there, you know exactly what you're doing. And that's how these pharmaceutical labs, that's how they turn out their products. When they're doing research, they've got a goal in mind. Maybe they're looking for a cure or an antidote or whatever for something. And they got a goal in mind. They've done, say, samples. They've done some various things. And they're going to try to figure out, you know, how it works. Come up with something that's actually going to work. When they come up with something, they'll try it, see if it works or not. If it doesn't work, they go back to the table. They go back to the lab and try it again. And finally, they figure it out. Now they start rolling that thing out. It starts and ends in the same lab. You know, after a while, it's no longer just experiment. I call it pharmaceutical labs. And that's where, you know, they come out and, you know, Johnson & Johnson, Wyeth, Ayers, pharmaceuticals. And sometime in my consulting journey, I worked for one such place, you know, big place in Pennsylvania. You know, and they, you know, did a lot of these products. You know, I learned a few more things. Well, put it all together now in my walk of faith. Here is what we do in our faith lab. You take what you know. This is what you already know. You know these substances. Faith is a substance. That's what you do in the chemical lab. I mean, chemistry lab. You take a few substances, mix them up together, and out comes this other thing. Well, faith is the substance. So you got to take the substance, and then you got to mix it with something. You know, well, the other substance is the word of God. So you take these two things, mix them together, and out comes this thing. You know, so in the simplest of terms, that's what a faith lab is. So generally, when I do the faith lab, I instruct people on how to do it. I give some few steps on, well, this is how you do the faith lab. And you've heard me with the, you know, my faith specs. I always talk about that in the faith lab. First, you find the scripture, which is the S, you know, it's one of the substances. You've got to find that. That's the basis of the whole thing. You know, sometimes in this chemistry thing, that's just, there's some base elements that you got to use, and then some other compound elements and various things. You mix them all together, you know. So this is the thing. The first thing is that scripture that has to do. You do some research too, you know. Find the scripture that has to do with the thing. Yeah, so that's one of the substances. Well, then there's a few other substances you got to mix in. You know, once you find that, then you, the next thing is you need to be persuaded of the thing. That's the P. You know, you're persuaded that it's going to bring the result, you know, and then you put your energy towards that and you embrace it. That's the E, because you're not going to go to the left or to the right. You're focused on that thing for this one result, you know, not, you know, when you are in the lab trying to produce something, you're not trying to produce a million things. You're trying to produce this one thing. You know, so at that time, you produce that thing, you come back and produce something else. But right now, it's this one thing. So you're embracing it for this one thing, you know, and then you confess it. Well, and, you know, at the end of the day, you broadcast what it is that you are going to produce. And you can actually show people that you can do it. Then you can do it again. And you can do it again. You can do it again. And you produce the same thing, you know. It's now called a science. It's no longer an art where you're just fumbling around. It's a science now. Science is precise. Now, we can become what we call subject matter experts. We call them SMEs. You can become a faith SME. Well, by the grace of God, I'd like to think of myself as a faith SME. I'm an SME in other things, you know, in technology. I'm a subject matter expert in several areas. And people in my field respect me for it. Well, I'd like to believe that in faith, I'm also a subject matter expert. Well, how do you become a subject matter expert in faith? You don't become that overnight. You know, but that's not something that's imputed. You know, you're going to have to learn it. You walk at it in the lab. You walk at it and walk at it and walk at it until you know it. And you can, and now it becomes repeatable. It's a repeatable process now. You know, it's documented. It's scientific. You do this and this. This is what's going to happen. It's no longer an experiment. It's the same thing with faith. You find the scripture, you're persuaded of it, you embrace it for the thing at hand, you confess it, it's going to produce the report, the results that were, you know, this is what you postulated at the beginning. You postulated that this thing, this can happen if you do this and that. That's your postulate, you know, postulation. But when you begin to do it, and then along the way, you may falter, you do it again and all that stuff. Once you perfect it, now you know. And you publish it and it's done. It's a done deal. And you can come back, you repeat it. It works all the time. You know, it's not that sometimes it will work and then sometimes it doesn't work. So paralleling that with our faith, why then do we allow our faith to work sometimes and sometimes it doesn't work? Well, for me, by the grace of God, because I understand it, topic of faith lab, it works all the time. Only if I don't exercise myself in it, but it works all the time. It's never up and down and so on. And, you know, I want everyone to be the same way. Become a subject matter expert on faith. In fact, Jesus, he loved that. In some people, he would say, wow, great is your faith. I haven't seen so great faith in Israel. Well, when Jesus said it like that, then that person is a subject matter expert. One such person is the centurion. And how did the centurion do it? Well, you know, he said, look, I am a man also under authority. So he's going to use something in his experience. This is how lab works. You know, he's going to use something that he's been experiencing in his everyday life. He understands how this thing works. He's a commander. You know, he's got 100 soldiers under him. And, you know, in the military, you know, you obey. That's it. Obey your commanding officer. There is no question about it. You know, so, and he said, look, I am also a man like that. You know, I say to one, come, and he comes. Go, and he goes. I say, do this, and he does it. because that's what happens in my realm. Now I understand that you are in a different realm, and I'm using what I already got in my realm to understand your realm as well. So I know that in your realm too, you can speak the word too, just like I do in mine, you know, and it'll come to pass. You don't even need to come to my house. Just say the word. My goodness. Now that's a subject matter expert, because he used his whatever circumstances in his life and his experience and everything, you know, to dissect this matter of faith and to put it together and say, look, this is what happens in my life. When I tell somebody to do something, they do it. Now you being the Lord in the spiritual, just say it and it'll happen. And Jesus said, my. Wow. You know, and Jesus was impressed. Now, if Jesus is impressed about something, that makes you a subject matter expert on that thing. Because he wasn't even impressed with the disciples. The disciples were not subject matter experts on faith when Jesus was around with them. They had baby faith. You know, they had little faith. In fact, Jesus used to call them, O ye of little faith, how long will I be with you? I mean, when are you going to figure these things out? And part of their problem, not figuring it out, was because Jesus was with them. And because Jesus was with them, they just left Jesus to do everything. You know, and sometimes, you know, the Lord has to put you in some situations in order for you to grow up. You know, and this young children were not growing up. In fact, Jesus, when he met them at the Sea of Tiberias, he said, little children, you have any meat? They were still little children. I mean, how in the world, when are you going to grow up? Are you going to be a little child all the time? I'm not a little child anymore. I mean, in the eyes of God, I'm still his child because he's the Ancient of Days. But in the realm of faith, I'm not a child anymore. In fact, scripture tells us, look, in malice be children, but in spiritual things, be grown-ups. Don't be a baby in faith, you know, and, you know, just be baby all the time. You know, you got to be grown up. And this is how you get into that level. This is how you walk yourself up into being a subject matter expert on faith. So here is how what we're going to do today. I call it, you know, your answer and declaration of faith. You take a few substances, mix them together, and out come this thing. Now, sometimes the process of that thing coming out may take a while. You know, sometimes they culture the thing. It take a few days or a few weeks, whatever. However long it takes. But, you know, once the process is proven, it's guaranteed to work. In fact, if it doesn't work, it's called a defect, and they have to throw it away, you know, and then do it again. It must work. It's supposed to work. They've proven it. You know, so we don't want any defects in our faith. Not anything we got to throw away. But if you do find defects, and throw it away. Do it again. You know, even God, you know, he showed, you know, Jeremiah went down to the potter's house in Jeremiah chapter 18. He got there. The Lord said, look, when you get there, I'll show you my words. You know, sometimes God likes these dramatizations, you know, and so on. I was going to dramatize this thing. So Jeremiah went to the potter's house in Jeremiah 18. And when he got there, he said, I found him doing something. He was making some pottery, you know, doing something. And I was looking at him. And as he was doing it, I mean, this man was this potter, you know, potter man, that's his business. He was a subject matter expert. And he knows how to do this thing. He knows it. He'd been doing it. That's what he does. You know, but, you know, even though he was a subject matter expert and this is what he does, somehow, you know, some of those lumps didn't come out just right. So he had to do it again. That's right. So you do it again until you get it right. So, and then the Lord told him, well, you know, this is the word of the Lord unto you. So let me read that to you. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, is Jeremiah 18 and 1. Go down to the potter's house and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, Jeremiah 18 and 3. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. That means messed up in the hand of the potter. Well, because it was messed up, did the potter give up? No. So he made it again. Another vessel, even as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And so the word of the Lord came to me and said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as his potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, when you do it and it doesn't come out right, you do it again. You don't give up or give in. Peter, he did it all night long with his friends. In Luke chapter 5, they caught nothing. When Jesus came there, he said, do it again. That's right. Do it again. Go right back out there. And say, well, we packed it in. Just said, no, do it again. You know, and they did it again. And he gave instruction, gave strategy. And this time around, cast your net on this side. you know, and so forth. You know, so you do it again. Now, today, you're going to use, now you put this in context with all the things we have been talking about. We've been talking about how to use your testimony as a weapon. Yesterday, we talked about how to use your praise as a weapon. I mean, we've talked in this room multiple times as how to use the word of God, how to give voice to his word. I mean, so these are all the substances that you put together. Now, faith is the other substance. After you put all those things together, you got to put faith smack right down on top of it. Because when the word was not mixed with faith in their hearts, it profited them nothing. You know, so you put all that stuff together. And that, you know, that's really how your faith works. And that's how you build your faith. Now, there's other places where it talks about building up your most holy faith. And we did a lesson on this a few weeks ago. You know, all the various things, how you build up your faith, looking for the mercy of the Lord. That's another way. You know, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's another way. You know, encouraging yourself in the love of God, keeping you. That's another way. But this one is yet another way. So how you build your faith. Practice. Practice in the lab. And then once you got it, you've got the formula for success. Now you got that formula. It's no longer guesswork. You know, so if you've never done this or experienced one of these faith labs, here's what we're going to do. Now, beginning right now, I'm going to give you these steps. The first thing is search the scriptures. And we find this in Hebrews 11 and 13. How did these people do this journey of faith? Well, Hebrews 11, 13 said, well, all these, you know, folks that he was talking about that had this promise, they're going, God's going to give them some place. And they were going, like, didn't even have the promise fully, but there were some things they had. And they used what they had. And they saw the promise afar off. So this is how I coined a faith spec out of that verse. I know many of you have heard it before, but there may be some people here that have never heard it. You know, so Hebrews 11, 13, there's four words in there that we coin the first letter of those words into an acronym to spell S-P-E-C. Well, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So that S right there. So that means, you know, you got to look for the promise. See the promise. Search the scriptures. Find the promise. That's number one. Then number two, be persuaded of that promise. That's the P. Then number three, embrace it for the present situation. Now, the promises of God are beautiful for every situation, but did you embrace it for this situation? Not every situation. This. That's why Jesus told Martha, Believest thou this? May I ask? Well, yeah, well, I know my brother would. No. Do you believe this? This right now? I know he can rise in resurrection. I know he will do this and so forth. But do you believe right now? Right here? This? So that's the difference between the persuaded and embraced. Everybody is persuaded that God can do everything. But when it comes right down to it, as people say, when the rubber meets the road, do you believe that thing for this situation? Not that we know God can raise the dead. But if you had someone that died, God forbid, will you embrace it for that particular situation? All right. So that's the difference between the embrace. And then they started to confess that they were strangers. We're going to a place. Started to confess it. And as you see, you begin to confess it. So when you put all of that together, I come up with what I call the faith specs. And how you develop that, you develop in the lab until it becomes second nature. After a while, you're just doing it all the time. You're doing it all the time. You know, so the first thing we're going to do is this. Number one, I want you to identify the areas where you would like to emerge. That's it. Now we're back, right back to the subject of emerging. Where is it that you would like to emerge? Write them down. Now, don't put it in the chat room. Write it for yourself. But you are going to put in the chat room one or two scriptures. I want everybody to participate in this exercise, not just the people that post scriptures for us all the time. Because this is part of the faith lab. You've got to engage. This is the rules of engagement. You can't just, you know, stand aloof and be watching. Now, make a list. Doesn't have to be a long laundry list. It can be a short list. You know, if you want to make a long list too, that's fine. You know, but make a list, your list, and keep that to yourself. But you're going to share the scriptures because all of us can learn from whatever scripture that you post. You know, so for the thing that you are believing God for, and it doesn't matter if somebody else has already posted the scripture, you post it too. Whoever wants to participate, that's what I call a lab. You are going to find a scripture, at least one scripture, and post it. I'll give you an example. Well, you're believing God for healing. Well, tons of scriptures throughout the scriptures. I mean, throughout the Bible. Well, find one. You know, Exodus 15:26. You know, find one. Post it. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay, fine. But what did he say? He said, well, he gave you about four different things you got to do, you know, in order for you to be able to claim that. Now, these are part of the steps in the lab that you got to, you know, the instructions, you do this, take two measures of this, do this, do that. You know, you got to do everything that it says in the lab of how you get there. You know, so the way the Lord put it for the healing thing in the lab, you know, he gave you four different things in that verse. You got to pay attention. You know, he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, your God, that's number one. If you will do that which is right in his sight, that's number two. If you will give ear to his commandments, that's number three. And if you will keep all his statutes, that's number four. But all of these things, they're all kind of flavors of the same thing. Then I will put none of those sicknesses upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth you. So that's a promise. Now, once you find that promise, you post it. You can already start doing it now. Don't wait until I finish talk. As I'm talking, start doing it. Find your promise. And this is your promise. Remember, we talked about also activating that promise for yourself. You know, it's the word of promise. If you don't know what was promised, it's not a promise. So you got to know that what was promised. If somebody promised something and you don't know it, it's no use to you because you didn't even know it was promised. So find the promise and post it. All right. Once you post it, then examine yourself to see whether you are actually persuaded that God is able to do that. You know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, he said, look, we know that our God is able to save us. You know, that's persuaded. They know God's able to do it. But they went one step beyond that to embrace it for the particular situation. Our God is a God that can deliver. And they went one step further. And he will deliver us. Now, sometimes we know that God has the ability and the capacity to do all these things. But sometimes we're not fully persuaded whether he's going to do it. We know he can, but is he going to do it? That's the difference in the embrace. You know, now you embrace it for the particular situation. Now, God can heal you. We know that. He's God after all. But is he going to do it? Sometimes say, well, I don't know. Maybe he is his will. Maybe it's not his will. Then you have not embraced it. So don't even waste your time. People who say maybe it's not the will of God for me to be healed. Don't waste your time even praying. You need to know what it is that is God's will in the situation. You know, if it is God's will, if you think it's God's will in a situation, well, go ahead and believe God for it. If you don't know, then spend time trying to figure that out before you even pray. It's a waste of time coming to God when your mind is still wishy-washy. He said, let not such a man, you know, think that he will receive anything from the Lord. It's just like a wind tossed up and down. You know, he can't receive. A man that wavereth, wavering means, well, maybe he'll do it. Maybe he won't. Well, if you waver like that, the scripture says, well, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. You know, can't receive anything from the Lord that way. Wow. You know, so how then do you receive from the Lord? Well, you've got to know that it is God's will for you to do that. Is it? Is this God's will? Well, find the scripture that talks about it. Is it God's will for him to heal you? Well, find the scripture that talks about it. And is it God's will, you know, for you to actually emerge? well, that's the thing, you know. In Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1, there was a story of a man that had leprosy. And he came and knelt before the Lord and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst heal me and make me clean. And the man wasn't really sure. So he kind of, you know, tried to approach Jesus in a safe way. He said, well, Lord, if it is your will, I'm sure you can heal me and make me clean. Well, Jesus is going to settle that question once and for all. You know, once and for all. You know, this question about is it God's will to heal me or not? Jesus settled it once and for all. Say, I will. That's it. Be thou clean. And be thou made whole. That's the same answer every time that the Lord will give when you ask whether it's his will to heal you. And there is no need for us to ask anymore. We already have the answer in the Bible. Don't need to ask. But if you are not sure, then still find out whether it's God's will for you. But once you know his will, you know, then put your stick down on the thing. You know, so is it God's will for you to prosper? Well, maybe.
Learning.
Lola, you're
who sorry. Else do you have with me? 16 window.
Can somebody try, please? All right. You guys be careful when you're on stage. Your mic may be accidentally open. Once you know God's will, then you go ahead and apply yourself in line with that. We do not want to do this wishy-washy game with the Lord. Scripture clearly says, you know, when you ask, you better ask in faith. If you do not ask in faith, then let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. You know, because in that case, you are just like a wind that is tossed here and there, you know, all over the place. You can find that in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 7 to 9 tells us, When you ask, don't be double-minded. If you're double-minded, double-minded means maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. Then let not that man even think that God will do it. So hopefully we've all moved past that point. We're no longer double-minded. We know he wants to do it. Hallelujah. God wants to give it to you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. I mean, this is a catch-all scripture in case you're wondering whether it is God's will to do something. Well, Jesus said, fear not, little flock. Oh, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I mean, if he's going to give you the kingdom, he gives you everything in the kingdom. You know, all the good things that come with the kingdom. So Jesus knocked that out. Knock that ball out of the park right here with this verse. So there is no need for anybody to still wonder about that. And then there are a few, I'll give you an example of blanket promises. Sometimes you can't find a specific promise. Well, you can default to some blanket promises, which only God has the capacity to make those kind of promises. You can't, and neither can I. But God can, and he did. And he said, well, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, and God is not mocked. You know, and sometimes we actually don't agree, but we pretend like we do, and God is not mocked. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. If you agree as touching what you'll ask, it'll be done for you. But it's got to be according to his will, right? So, you know, you balance it out by reading Lamentation 3 and 37, you can't ask or say anything if God has not commanded it. It's not going to come to pass. You also balance that out with 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. That says, look, this is how we know that we will get what we want. How? Well, there are two things he gave there. I've talked about this in this room. Whatsoever we ask, we receive. Because, and that's the reason how you're going to receive. Because of two things. We do his active will and we do his passive will. His active will is we keep his commandments. Whatever he has commanded, we keep. His passive will is even if he has not commanded something in the current situation for the thing, we know what he wants. So we do what he wants. That's his passive will. So these two things, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It's just like Jesus said when somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus could have quoted all the 10 commandments. He didn't. He did it a different way. He gave one commandment and then he gave another. And he said, well, these two, that's it. You know. So this scripture right here, that's it. There are many scriptures, like even, you know, Exodus 15:26 that we read, John 15:7 that says, you know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. All these other if all over the place for any of these promises, it's all wrapped up in this verse right here. Two things. If we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing inside, then it's a done deal. So, if you cannot find specific promises, find a generic promise. And many of them cover many situations. And so, what is it? Maybe yours is you're looking for wisdom. We dealt with that already 2 days ago when we dealt on strategy. Whatever it is, now that you found the scripture and you have persuaded yourself that, you know, God is able to do it, embrace it for the current situation. And then make your declaration. Hallelujah. You can make your declaration right here. And then you can make your declaration throughout the day and every day. How do you do it? Well, here's how you do it. Your name is Abram. You don't have a child. But you believe that God spoke to you. Other people were not there. But God spoke to you that he's going to make you a father of nations. Well, to be a father of nations, you got to at least have one child. And start there. Are you going to be a child of nations when you don't even have a child? So, You believe also that God told you that he's actually going to change your name to prove it. So you begin to enact that out. That's how you confess your faith. You change your name. And you tell your friends, don't call me that thing anymore. This is my new name. Whether they like it or not, whether they say, how in the world are you going to be father of nations even when you don't have a child? Well, that's my name. That's my new name. And I will be father of nations. Well, that's how you confess it. Glory to God. Now, you know, you're trying to get married. There's no husband. There's no wife inside. You're believing God. Well, how do you confess it? Shit. You say, I'm going to get married. You start to prepare. So you start to, you know, gather the, you know, materials for marriage, preparing yourself, you know, and start looking for, hey, you know, maybe I like this wedding dress. Maybe this is the kind of wedding invitation I want to put out. Well, you know, you start working on it. Now you work on it initially around, among circles of faith. You don't let anybody distract you like that. But sometimes you put it out too soon, some people will distract you or try to sabotage the plan. So you use wisdom there too. We've already covered that before. We talk about, you know, stories of Joseph and the others. You know, but you put it out there and you believe God. You know, whatever it is. I mean, you're looking for a job. You believe in God for this. Dress the part. You've heard people say it. You know, you're believing God for a child. Prepare the baby's room. You know, and all these things. On and on and on. You begin to confess your faith. You know, and look. You believe God for emerging, even in spiritual things. It's the same thing. You see yourself in it. See yourself in that thing. See yourself doing that thing. You know, and begin to do it. And that's right. Begin to do it. Jesus used to tell people, well, take up your bed and walk. I mean, so if you believe you are healed, why are you still? A sister gave a testimony the other day, you know, they were praying to be healed because they were not feeling well in the morning. And as soon as they finished praying, you know, she said, well, let me call in sick. Holy Spirit came in her face and said, you just prayed. I said that you're healed. And now you're going to call in sick? Uh-huh. See, so you can't do that. So how do you confess your faith in that case? Well, you get up from the bed. You take a shower. You clean up. You go to work. You know, that's what she said. And that's what she did. Before the end of the day, she was actually healed. You know, so you get the point. That's how you do it. All right. Let me see what people are doing here in the chat room. Are you posting your scriptures? You know, and then the last part, you know, is the one I actually want to dwell on a bit more today. I call it the declaration of your faith. This is your answer of faith. Well, you know, when you are faced with something, what is your answer? You know, you prayed for something, you believe God, but yet it looks like it's going the other direction. Now, what's your answer? Well, the answer of faith and the declaration of faith. You know, what's your favorite scripture on declaration of faith? You know, I'll give you mine. I've told you about it multiple times in this room. But what's your favorite declaration scripture? I have several favorites, but here's one of my favorites. I love this one in Isaiah 50:7. I call it my declaration of faith. And I, one time, many months ago, I gave it as a memory verse in this room. If you were not here when we did that, and if you were here and you forgot, do it again. Memorize this verse. It's very simple. But it's a, it's a declaration of faith verse. Say, for I know, you know, he said, the Lord God will help me. He knew it. And why? Because, well, in chapter 41 and verse 10, the Lord told him, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Therefore, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. So now, he said, well, the Lord already told me he's going to help me. So I know the Lord's going to help me. That's how you declare your faith. Lord already told you he's going to heal you, or he already healed you. Remember, you know, Isaiah prophesied the healing. Isaiah 53 prophesied that we're healed by his stripes and, you know, and so forth. But 1 Peter 2:24, looking back, tells us that we were already healed. And by whose stripes you are healed, according to Isaiah, futuristic. According to Peter, you know, he uses the past tense. By whose stripes ye were healed. Well, means you were healed on the cross. You know, so, you know, if you know that God already done it, then step into it. Well, I know the Lord said, for the Lord God will help me. God already told you. What did God tell you? Well, repeat to God what he told you. That's your declaration of faith. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I'm not going to be confounded. You know, I will set my face like a flint, for I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know, and sometimes you're praying and believing God for healing, and one day it looks like you're healed, and that day it looks like, you know, there is a, you know, regression in that thing. No, you stand your ground. I know that I will not be ashamed. I won't even be confounded. Confounded means confused. You don't know which way to turn. That's not your portion. You know, be confident in the Lord of what he already said. And God loves that kind of, you know, stance. When you have that posture, the Lord loves it. So that's how you declare your faith, you know. And he said, look, he is near that justifieth me, and who will contend with me? I mean, what is the thing that's contending with you? You know, is it some sickness? Is it some situation? You know, let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. You know, and what is it that's contending with you? Something that you thought was working, but doesn't look like it's working. But God said it's already working. And that's contending with you. Now you got to contend too. Contend for the word of promise. We did that a few days ago. Contend for it. And the Lord said, you know, he will justify you at the end of it all. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who shall condemn me? You know, every one of them will wax gold as a garment. The moth shall eat them up, and so on. So stay with the word. Confess the word. Etc. So that's how Faith Lab works. And that's our lesson today. Now, if you came in late or you don't know what we're doing here, we're practicing what I call a Faith Lab. And we're giving some steps on how to do it. You do this enough times, you become an expert. I call it a subject matter expert on faith. And you've got it down to a science. It's no longer trial and error. Trial and error is when you start out first few times in the lab, you're still figuring out. Enough time passes, you got it down to a science. You know, so we must get this thing down to a science. And you can even do it in your sleep. You know, people wake you up and say, what's happening? So, well, we got a situation here. Well, you know, right there, you snap into that thing. That's right there. It doesn't matter whether you sleeping. I mean, Jesus was sleeping in the boat, perhaps a deep sleep too, because he was really tired. But when they woke him up, he didn't say, well, let me go and pray first. Oh, no. You know, you come out of sleep, you deal with that situation right away because you got it down to a science. It's now part of your DNA almost. I mean, it's right there. I mean, you can do this thing in your sleep. You do it coming out of sleep. You can do it in the morning, do it in the daytime, do it in the evening, you know. We're people of faith now. Hallelujah. That's the culture I'm trying to build here. We are people of faith. You know, because without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And you, everywhere you go, you declare your faith. Even in the face of adversity, even when things look like going an opposite direction to what you're believing God for. And sometimes God will start a good work in you, and then there will be some regression. You know, but look, regression or not, you stay right there. You know, let us go to the other side. You got in the boat, you were going, and all of a sudden there was regression. You know, all kinds of hell broke loose. the storm, the tempest, water in the boat, rock up and down, rock the boat here and there, almost like you're going to capsize. You know, you started going. You know, the storm didn't start right away. You went some few hundred feet or something before the storm came at you. You know, and then what are you going to do? You're going to panic and run helter-skelter? Or are you going to deal with the storm? Deal with the storm. It's what Jesus wants us to do. It's what he wanted the disciples to do. Just deal with the storm already. Don't go running to the master. He's already teaching you. And if you haven't learned, then it's a teaching moment. You know, that was a teaching moment. Well, because Jesus was always trying to give them a teaching moment. He knew the storm was coming. You know, what he expected them is just ride out the storm. It's not, you know, don't worry about it. The storm will do its thing and it will pass. It's just a storm and it will pass. But they didn't realize that. So Jesus had to get up and rebuke the storm. He had no intention. No intention whatsoever of rebuking that storm. His was just sleep through the storm. Wake me up when we get to the other side. Because that's what he said. So, you know, and sometimes, you know, you just got to develop this posture that the storm will pass. And if you are bothered by the storm, then get up and rebuke it. But, you know, but you don't need the Lord. You can do it yourself. Jesus expected them to handle it. If the storm doesn't bother you, then just ride out the storm. If it bothers you, then rebuke the storm. But one way or another, you're going to get through the storm. Hallelujah. You're going to get through the storm because the storm is just a distraction. You try to make sure you don't get there. They're called the gates of hell. Jesus puts you on the path of righteousness. You're going towards heaven. The gates of hell will spring up to try to block your path that you don't get there. But you will get there because Jesus already said it. I'll build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not that they won't try. I'll try, but they won't prevail. Praise the Lord. All right, so that's our lesson today. And, you know, that's a quick recap of the lesson. I ask people to post, find first, write down personally yourself. You don't need to tell us here your vision, what you are going to emerge into, what you are believing God for, especially what God told you. You know, here's what God told Abraham. Many things, but one of the things was what he told him in Genesis 13. And he said, look, come out here. I'm going to show you something. You know, there are many times God did that to Abraham. Another time, come out here, look at the skies and so on. You know, this time around, he said, come out here. I'm going to show you something. What can you see? He said, well, I see this. And I said, well, okay, fine. Look carefully. Everything that you can see, the east, the west, the north, the south, just look. If you can see it, I'm going to give it to you. You know, and God will walk with you like that. That's what he told him. And what did God tell you? You know, has he told you something like that? For the land that you see, I will give it to you. That means your faith vision and your faith horizon. We talked about that the last few days. If you see it, I'll give it to you. Now, what is it that God told you? Well, he told us that we will emerge. But what did he tell you? Or what are you believing God for? There's nothing wrong in believing God as long as Allah according to his will. You know, according to his will. I love this scripture in Mark 11. This is the way he puts it. He said, look, you know, what things soever you desire. Nothing wrong with desiring. You know, I mean, some people say, oh, well, I can't desire because I don't know if it's the will of God. And know whether it's the will of God or not. And then desire. And nothing wrong with desiring. What things soever you desire. When you pray, Mark 11, 24, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So it starts with you wanting the thing. But even before that, starts with you seeing whether God already promised it. That's the shortest path to getting it if God already promised it. You know, and he says, yeah, well, if he promised it and you want it, just believe it and you get it. Now, faith is also now. This verse, Mark 11, 24, tells you that faith is now. At the time you pray is when you believe. You know, after that, don't worry about it. You say, when you pray, that's the time that you pray. Believe at that time. And then future, the you shall receive, you shall have them. That's future. But now, at the time of prayer, is when you believe. Just like the Bible says, now faith is the substance. Well, faith is now. Believe right now when you pray. And then see the thing unfold later on. But don't doubt now while you're waiting for the unfolding of the thing. That's where we lose faith, many of us, sometimes. While we're waiting, we lose faith because now we see the storm arising. You were walking on the water already, coming to Jesus, and you were doing good. You took several steps already, and then you looked away, and then you saw all the winds being boisterous and everything. I said, oh, I can't walk on water. Then you start to drown. But you have enough senses, you cry out to the Lord, and he did. And the Lord pulled him out of there. I said, why did you doubt? You know, just keep on walking, Peter. Walk on, Peter. You don't need to doubt. Praise the Lord. You know, so let's not lose faith. So that's what we're doing here today. We put all these things together. I call it a faith lab. You practicalize it. It works. And once you have developed the process in your mind, you can do it even in your sleep almost. Do it when you get out of sleep. You do it in the morning, do it in the afternoon, do it in the daytime. It works all the time. Praise the Lord. So that's our lesson today. The faith lab is your answer and declaration of faith towards your emerging. What is it that you're going to emerge into? Well, this is part of the process. That's what we've been doing the last few days or several days, teaching us the process. Here's one more thing to add to your bag of tricks, if you want to call it that. You know, add this one more thing in there. Once you know how to do this, once you have perfected this practice of faith, it's really not an art. It's a science. You know, the practice of faith is a science. It's not an art. It's exact. It's not maybe, or, you know, whether it will turn out that way. No, it's an exact. You do this, you do this, you do this, this will be the result. That's it. It's a science. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pray. I trust and believe that everybody has found a scripture. Now, if you still need help finding a scripture, well, then let us know. There are many people in this room that can help you find a scripture. You can post in the scripture and say, well, I'm looking for a scripture that says this or that or deals with this. And we'll help you. You know, but that's where we do our homework. Always know how to find scripture. Now, you have many tools for those things these days. You know, intelligence is on Google. They built, you know, heuristics into your search. You can search for something you may not know exactly, just search for it. They built heuristics into it. I can take a few words and try to match. Even if you don't know the verse you're looking, just put a phrase in there. Maybe you just remember a phrase. It will help you find it. You know, and but you must find it. And once you find it, paste it in the frontlet. Say, let it be like frontlets in your eyes. That's your, like you're wearing glasses, you know. Let it be as if you're wearing glasses. You know, put it as frontlets in your eyes. You know, I do wear glasses, so I know what frontlets mean. It's always there. You're seeing through it. That's what you see through. You know, put it right there. And don't lose sight of it. You can write it on your door, in your room, or wherever. Just put it somewhere that you can always see it. That's the promise. Now it has become a word of promise to you because you found it. Before, you didn't know because you didn't even know if it was promised. You know, now you know. And then you take the next few steps that we described today and then begin to declare your faith. It's called declaration of your faith. And that's your answer to whatever situation you are in. So that's why I call it your faith lab, your answer and declaration of your faith. It's part of your process of emerging. And you can come out and actually declare, because your testimony is one of those bag of tricks. It's one of the things in your bag of tricks. Use your testimony even ahead of time. Jesus used it for himself. You know, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. That was his testimony. He was using it to build up his faith. And this is the way it's going to be. This commandment I've received of my Father. No man takes it from me. I lay it down, and I pick it up again. I receive this commandment from my Father. So if I lay it down, I know I'm going to pick it up again, because my Father said so. They were declaring these things ahead of time. That's how you do it. You just declare it ahead of time. Declare, 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 declare. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said that himself. He said, look, declare it so that you may be justified. That's how you do it. So that's the last of them, which is the C, which is the confession. It's actually also your declaration. You declare it so that you will be justified. So I'm going to pray now and lead us in prayer. You know, put me in remembrance, Isaiah 43 and 26. Let us plead together. Declare thou. Well, so declaration is what we're doing here, that you may be justified. So we're going to declare our faith now. And after this, I'm going to open it up for anyone that wants to do a public faith declaration or a testimony of sorts. The last few days, you haven't had the chance to testify, but you can do it today. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Indeed, we can say the entrance of your word has brought light. Now we understand what the faith lab is and how to use it. Practice our faith till we become a subject matter expert. And today I thank you, Lord, that I have many subject matter experts on faith in this room. They have perfected their faith. They know how to do it. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, we are trying to help everyone else come up to the same level, just like Jesus helping his disciples come up to his level. I pray, therefore, today, as we engage in this exercise, and every day, we'll practice our faith and give us confidence, you know, that the Lord's telling us these things and encouraging us to do these things because he actually wants to give us these things. And Jesus tells us to ask so that we may receive. He's not just dangling a carrot in front of us. And there's, you know, when you try to get close, he pulls it away. Why in the world would he do anything like that? If he wants you to ask, that means he's going to give it to you. Praise the Lord. So as we ask here today, may everyone have the confidence. This is the confidence. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in him. You know, it's that if we ask anything that's according to his will, you know, we know he hears us. And then verse 15 says, and if we know he hears us, then we know that whatsoever we ask, we know that we receive the petitions that we desired of him. So desire and ask, and he will give it to you, and then enact it and declare it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, this promise of emerging this year, glory to God. It is going to come to pass because you said it. And we believe it. And I am going to give you the word of the Lord. Now it's called the declaration of faith for you. Behold, saith the Lord, say not in your hearts that are there not only 2 weeks left in this year, and yet my situation remains the same. Thus saith the Lord, lift up your eyes even this day and look unto me. For am I a God that is afar off and not even a God that is near? Can I only do things far in the future? And can my word not hasten that which I have spoken to come to pass even before you, even before the end of this year? Behold, said the Lord, as the year comes to a close, even that which you thought was hitherto unattainable, the Lord says unto you, know that I am the Lord. I create and make a way for you in the place whereof you have said that there is no way. Even in the wilderness and of the place where you have said was dry, I cause rivers to spring forth. And I cause them to run and overflow even for you in the desert, that I may make smooth for you the crooked places. Now I make my name a praise in your life. Glory to God. Thus saith the living God. Amen. That's the word of the Lord for you today. And you can believe it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.